Reggie, I just sold my car online.
Let's go, Grandpa. Wait, you did?
Yep, on Carvana. Just put in the license plate, answered a few questions, got an offer in minutes. Easier than setting up that new digital picture frame.
You don't say.
Yeah, they're even picking it up tomorrow. Talk about fast.
Wow, way to go. So, about that picture frame.
Forget about it. Until Carvana makes one, I'm not interested.
Car selling made easy. On Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
There's one thing the men did last year that allegedly got a lot of people kicked off this year's Met Gala invite list. But before we get into that, I just want to shout out how the Met Gala started this year. So, of course, this year's theme was super fine, tailoring black style, which is celebration of black dandyism. And it's basically just how black men would reclaim their individuality, you know, after slavery and wanting to just, you know, show that they had style and just bring back their dignity. And it was such a cool nod to that part of history. And a way that the Met Gala honored it this year was they actually opened up the red carpet by highlighting a all-black choir who sang as they opened up the entire Met Gala red carpet steps. Met Gala needs some kind of like opening act. Like, it's not enough just to see J-Lo wear the same silver dress every year. Like, let's get some performances, maybe have like an intermission, maybe a halftime show, have Kendrick come out and start dissing all the people on the carpet.
So I saw Rihanna arrive to the Carlisle, and that's when she was rocking her bump. And so that's how like the news got out that she and A$AP Rocky are expecting their third. But I knew that that was just like the pre-outfit. She needed to go into the hotel and get like dolled up for the Met. Was she like the last person on the carpet? Did she close it out?
Yeah, she was one of the last people, and Kim Kardashian too. I feel like that's kind of when you've reached a certain level of celebrity, you get to like make your request to Anna Wintour and be like, I want to close out the show. Like, I want to be one of the last people. And it's always funny to see who shows up first, because I was surprised that Sydney Sweeney was one of the first people out, because I'm like, she's reached pretty much A-list status that you kind of know that the first people that hit the Met Gala steps, like, those are the lower tier celebrities, and then you kind of work your way up to the Rihannas of the world.
See, I disagree.
Really?
I think it's like, much like in radio, it's how you get in and how you get out. So you want to have a couple of really big names to open it up. And of course, the co-chairs were there to you know, open up the carpet. But then it's kind of the middle that gets lost. And then, of course, you have like the ending, and that's going to be Rihanna rocking her bump and the pinstripe and the hat and all of that.
There's kind of this consistent theme every year that people complain about two things. The first thing that people will complain about is that people didn't follow the theme, which I really feel like no one like went totally off course this year. I feel like everyone really took the theme and ran with it. And there weren't a lot of people that just kind of slacked. Everyone, I feel like, put in a really good effort.
Like Jenna Ortega actually wearing rulers. Like, her dress was made of silver metallic rulers because it was all about fine tailoring.
Oh,
and you use a ruler to measure the clothing.
It's a cool way to check out the theme. But then also, people complain that the men don't try. They just wear like a plain black tux. And apparently, last year's co-chair for 2024's Met Gala, Chris Hemsworth, allegedly didn't get an invite because he didn't really try that hard and he just wore a suit.
Yeah.
And this year, you kind of didn't really have much of an option. Like, this theme really highlighted a lot of tailored suits. So that's why you're going to see a lot of people looking like they're rolling up in business casual at the Met Gala. And I think it really encouraged the men to try this year. So last year, I had a diss track for the people of the Met Gala. I had a rap I'd like to call Beige and Bouquets.
Oh, that's right.
This year, I would like to shout out the men for trying a little bit harder, even though they still kept it safe with their suit and ties. Wait. Sorry. Okay, now go. I was stressed when I read that theme of What Straight Shooketh. Dressing up is not my strength. An owl got burned on land, stepping up. Gonna try and slay tonight. Hey, baby, we don't gotta try that hard. Cause if they stay close, real close, we might even be on theme. It ain't nothing to try, but fashion's a tough one. Gonna swallow my pride. Tonight,
as long as I got my suit and tie. I'm a little steps tonight. Baby, I'm fixed up to the nines. I'ma try a new thing, try a new thing. All dressed up in black or white. This year I'll dress in a color I like. Fashion is swinging in the air tonight. I'ma try a new thing. I'ma try a new thing.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Hang on, I gotta get to the rap first.
No, you don't.
Yep.
No, you don't.
Okay, turn it down.
Mo had his hand over his mouth.
Listen.
Looking at you like he was about to witness a car wreck and knew it was about to happen.
That's top five whitest things I've ever seen take place on the show. That is not saying a lot.
Well, I'll save top five. I'll save the Jay-Z parody rap for bonus content.
I kind of want to hear it now.
I do, too.
Well,
you guys didn't look like you were enjoying yourself, so...
That's a good reason for that.
It's going in the vault. I practiced really hard, you guys.
God bless.
A few of the most important guests invited to the Met Gala pulled out at the last minute, including one of the co-chairs. I'll tell you why they weren't there on the Met steps on your next E-Buzz on The Bert Show.
The Bert Show.
I feel like I'm being backed into a corner that is bordering on disrespectful if I don't remember who this dude is at this point. Because here we are again.
He really wants you to remember. And I think it's so interesting that it was such a monumental moment for him. And you don't even remember it at all.
I hate that dude. I hate that. No, I don't hate that dude. I hate that, comma, dude.
Yeah.
Right. So if you missed this story, I was in a business meeting and there was a guy who was very excited to tell me his story about a time that he almost had a business deal with Bert. And he said that I think this was in 2011. And at the time, I didn't have all the
information.
That's
a big year for you.
2011?
Uh-huh.
Oh, is that when you joined the show?
Yeah.
Okay. Which no wonder why I forgot it. I forgot the whole year.
You're going through a lot.
Which makes sense because he starts pulling out pictures and showing me pictures of you guys together at an event. And I guess that's the event where he met y'all.
And you pinpointed what the event was?
Yes. So we were there he invited on behalf of Bert's Big Adventure. And it's not called Opera anymore, but it was a location in Midtown called Opera.
It was 1150 before that. I don't even know what it is now.
Because I remember the outfit. Like, I remember the jumpsuit that I was wearing. And I remember Bobby from Bert's Big Adventure was there. And so we were hanging out upstairs. Because, like, the way Opera is set up, it kind of, like, has this upstairs where you overlook down, kind of like you're in, like, opera boxes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were upstairs. But as far as the reason why we were there,
no idea. And tell your man that, your dude, that I left so many brain cells in that place when it was 1150 and Opera that please don't take it personally.
No, I did. He wasn't offended at all.
He should be.
He wasn't. But he did once. He was like, man, maybe this will help jog his memory.
Now, after you told me about the dude, I went online. I even told you. I looked at all his pictures. I don't recall his face. I don't know who he is.
So I'm trying to see if you would actually remember the rapper, because that's what this story centers around. There was a rapper that he signed because he had a label at the time with, I think, 11 artists. And one of these artists was apparently a very good rapper that you both swore up and down would be the next Eminem.
So he played me something. I'm like, this dude's got the goods, man. What do I got to do to get in on this project?
He said you were all in. He said you were super excited about this guy and you were going to bring him on the show and y'all were going to try to push his career to the next level. And unfortunately, apparently at some point, the guy relapsed because he got so excited about the opportunity that was in front of him. And he ended up naked on running on the highway. And that was how his story ended. And the dude was so embarrassed that when you text him one day to say, yo, whatever happened with the rapper, what's going on? He didn't even respond to you. He just ghosted you because he didn't know how to tell you what happened.
So it was the rapper that snapped, got naked, and ran down the streets of Atlanta. I even Googled running down street of Atlanta naked 2011, and there's nothing online.
No.
You couldn't find it.
I couldn't find it.
So I asked him, I told him I need some more information. And he did say that the name of it was, he said it was actually 2012. I thought it was 2011.
This changes everything.
He said,
the rapper of 2012.
He did say it was at Opera Nightclub.
Yep.
And he said you guys were invited by a company called Intrigue. I don't know if that rings any bells. But then I said, well, you got to find something on the rapper. I think maybe that'll help jog his memory. So I have.
Was the rapper performing there and that's why we were there?
I don't know if he was performing, and I don't think so.
I never went to opera to see somebody specifically. I went there to be sinful.
Yeah, the way he told the story, it was as if that was a separate night. That's just where y'all met.
Okay.
And
oh,
that's
okay.
When he started talking to Bert about this rapper. So I have an audio clip of the rapper rapping at the time that might help jog your memory. And I sent you an email of the picture of the rapper. Apparently his name was Mateo.
Obviously, if Bert was going to do this for on, like, we talked about this in post-show meetings,
yes.
Right? Like, this was, I friggin' remember this
I
now.
I do. Now, I'm looking at the video you're saying. It looks like a young Morgan Wallen, to be honest with you. I don't remember what he looks like, but I do remember the name.
You do remember the name?
I do remember the name.
Was he, like, a child rapper first? Was that the kid who, like, went viral as a child rapping, like, Maddie B?
I don't know.
Do you guys remember Maddie B?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure. Like,
that kid
looks like Maddie B to me, grown up.
Here's a clip of him rapping, if this helps.
Okay.
Are you ready? Now, here we go. I'm a cool type of cat, always wearing a black hat with a little purple attached on the back, on the strap, and on the bill. I got a father named Bill who begs for ramen noodles. I told him to send me the bill.
Was he freestyling there?
I think so.
What's he doing now?
Oh my gosh, I have emails.
You do?
Have emails.
Come
That's
on.
Crazy. I just searched my Gmail. So from, oh no. Sorry, I got to go back. Keep talking, and I'm gonna do some digging.
Is it M-A-T-E-O?
M-A-T-E-O, yep.
Uh-huh.
That's how you spell it.
All right, y'all keep going, and I'm gonna figure this out.
He said that the last time he spoke to him was a couple of years ago. He has a family now. He seems to be doing really well, but he's not doing music anymore, but he hasn't been in contact with him since.
Aww.
I have nothing in my email from a Mateo, but I do remember the name, man. I don't remember your dude, but I remember the rapper's name.
Yeah, he said, y'all thought he was going to be it, man. Like, he was really good, apparently, and he was, like, the next thing coming.
I am so sorry, because I got really excited. I do have Mateos, but I don't have that Mateo.
No, you do. Please don't take it personally, man.
No,
you know
all
the brain cells I have littered around this city in scenarios like that. But if we talked sober and I was excited and brought Kristen into it, I totally believe his story.
Yeah,
it's 100%.
No, he said y'all were definitely excited about it. He's more disappointed that it didn't work out, but he doesn't care that you ever remember.
That is so funny.
The Bert Show.
It'll eventually come to me, but I know I've been in this situation before. When I'm watching a TV show with my significant other at the time, and we have a philosophical difference on what's going on the show, and it ends up being a big old fight. You ever had that happen?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of girls are now using the show Sex and the City as a way to get like a litmus test for how their boyfriends feel about certain subjects, because it has so many things that like you don't know to vocalize, but it's still so topical even, you know, 20, 30 years later.
It becomes like a values thing. Like you're watching these characters play out, and if your significant other identifies with one and you're like, what? It almost feels like it's a personal shot at your values, right? It's just a damn TV show. And Katie's here right now with her girlfriend over the most ridiculous show and the most ridiculous tension.
It is. So I don't know if you have all heard of Temptation Island on Netflix.
Yes.
It's supposed to be this crazy reality show where couples who are like hesitant about their relationship go to this island and put their relationship to the test.
I got 7 minutes into it and I just couldn't do it anymore. Years ago, I could. Now I'm just looking at it going, even the premise of it is so stupid. Just like, hey, we're going to fly to this island where there's nothing but hotties all around just to see if our relationship is strong. If you're making the decision that that is going to be the definition of your relationship being strong, you've already lost.
That's a fact.
Absolutely. And it started to cause tension in our relationship, but not for the reasons that you would think. I would think that she and I watching the show, it would be like, okay, if you were in this situation, would you be tempted to do blah, 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 right? And that's not the case. She put me onto the show and was like, let's just watch this. And I'm like, I guess. So we're watching the show. And as we're watching it, the women are in their own house. And then like the guys are in a different house. These couples are split up and the women are in the house and they can have the chance to deal with these guys or not. And so as we're watching it, there's like this confessional moment and there's this one woman who pops up. And as she's telling her story, my girlfriend's like, that's it. Her. And I'm like, her what? That's who you would date? Like, what do you mean, her? She's like, no, I want my boobs to look just like hers. So
she wants a breast augmentation?
Yes.
Did you know this at all? Was an idea at all?
She has mentioned this a couple of months ago that, hey, I want to potentially get a breast reduction. Now, my girlfriend is, she's tall. She's my own little personal stallion, okay? Okay, so I think her curves are in the right places. And she did mention that she did want to get a breast reduction in the future. And at the time, I was like, okay, cool. Like, I understand if you want to go down a couple of cups. No, she wants to go down all the cups. So,
from what to what?
Is it? Yeah, I was about to say, is it inappropriate to ask what she's currently rocking and what she would like to go to?
I know she's past the triple D. Okay. So I don't know exactly which letter she's on, but it's not D's.
She's on the damn.
You and that joke.
It never gets old.
It does not for me.
It's for him.
Never.
Yeah.
All right, so she's if it's past triple D, then she's like in the E territory.
EFG, HIJ.
Yeah, so somewhere in that range. And I was thinking when she mentioned a reduction, I get it if it's, you know, messing up your back. Like, I completely understand. So I'm thinking, oh, we're probably going to go to double D's or C's. But no, this woman who is on this show, it's giving A cup.
No. Oh, no. Really? No.
Yeah, A kind of like.
Oh, no. Oh, no. No. Run for your life. Don't do it.
Hashtag save the boobies.
And so I'm like, do you not understand that you and this woman are two different body types, two different heights? Like, this woman is, she looks super short. And I'm like, how you think her breasts look on her, if you go down to that size, it's not going to look like that on you. And you always told me that if you start looking like a crackhead, to let you know. So.
Damn, she going to look like a crackhead?
Yeah, it's not going to look right.
Are all crackheads flat-chested? Right? I'm very confused.
What just happened?
How did we get here?
This is just conversation that she and I have had.
So did you get the breast reduction and your teeth fall out?
You just don't look like the same person. And I'm just trying to advise her not to go too drastic because of how it's going to look. Not for my selfish reasons, because I love my pillows, but more so because I think it's just not going to look right on her body. Like, from one drastic to another drastic, it's not going to look how she thinks it looks on this woman.
I would think that this industry has developed enough to where they could do some kind of like AI model to where they could take a picture of your body and then put all sorts of sizes on that chest. So you know exactly what you're signing up for before you get cut.
I think so. That has to be a possibility, and we need to look into it because right now she and I are at like this negotiation. She's like, okay, if not an A, what about a B? I'm like, if not a B, what about a C? So we're in the middle of negotiation of what I think would be the perfect size.
And not just for you, but you're worried because that is, I mean, if you're going from like over triple D, like if she's in E territory, going from E to A, that is such a drastic change.
It's the dream.
Cassie can speak on this, right?
Oh, yeah. I've had a reduction on my list for a while. It's probably going to be my birthday present to myself. A is probably a little small, but like as someone with the big bugs, whatever, I don't want like child PC friendly, the big girls on the front. I would be very tempted by a B. I'd probably end up at a C cup because I do think it would be in between, but I got to be on her side on this one.
Did you say this was for aesthetics or this was because her back was hurting?
It's both.
Okay.
It's like it's causing her troubles and also she doesn't like the way how big her breasts are.
She don't just care about her back.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, just put a weightlifting belt on.
All right. So I'm curious if the same logic applies because you know when a woman does something super drastic to her hair, right? Like does a complete 180, has long flowing locks and all of a sudden dyes it bleach blonde and does a pixie cut. You immediately are like, at least the generalization is something's going on in her life that she felt the need that she needed to do this. So going from an E to an A, I understand the want for a reduction. I totally get that. Kat, we did the Big Boob Appreciation Day and I can completely, at least a little bit, have empathy there as to why. But making such a drastic change, is there anything going on psychologically or in her life that makes her want to do such a drastic change?
Not that I'm aware of. She's always had this idea of what the perfect body type would look like, of how she would want her body to look. And it's giving more of, a pear shape, where it's a little small at the top and then come down thicker at the bottom.
You know what I've never heard? Or maybe we did this a long time ago. A woman that would call up and say, I'm completely okay with my body. Like, I'm wondering, seriously, like, I'm wondering if she goes from a DDD to an A, if at that point she'd be happy with it. Or is it just almost like, I hate to say this, y'all, is it almost like built into your DNA, or it's learned from a very young age, that you're never really truly going to love your body, no matter what it looks like?
Well, I guess I can kind of speak on this because I got a nose job about a year ago, and I knew going into it, I'm like, I know fixing my nose isn't going to make me magically like who I am, but I got to be honest with you, I like myself a lot more than I did.
So there is that.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
One of the co-chairs of this year's Met Gala pulled out at the last minute.
Who does that?
Apparently LeBron James.
I had a feeling it was LeBron.
Really?
Yeah.
LeBron. But his wife was there, right?
You know what? I actually don't know. So maybe do the Google for me while I'm doing this, because BuzzFeed posted this article that that announced that LeBron James had to pull out of the festivities despite being one of the honorary co-chairs. And this was a big deal. I mean, it was all men of color who were the co-chairs for this year's Met Gala. Mm. It was a theme that was celebrating black dandyism. So I don't think anybody, well, maybe you expected for him to back out, but I don't think anybody thought that, you know, this is something that somebody wouldn't want to come and celebrate.
Yeah, Savannah James, his wife, made her Met Gala debut solo.
I got a hunch.
The playoffs?
Yeah, because they lost in the first first game.
Yeah, so
they were heavily favored.
They were heavily favored, yeah. But I mean, I would think maybe it has to do. I know he was allegedly suffering from an injury of some sort. I think it was his hamstring, if I'm not mistaken, or something on his leg or something like that. So maybe it was that.
So I have a tweet from him from @KingJames on Twitter/X. It says, unfortunately, because of my knee injury I sustained at the end of the season, I won't be able to attend the Met Gala in New York tonight, which is, you know, there's a lot of steps. So.
Yeah, I do wonder, not first game, but what I meant to say was the first playoff series. I wonder if it's just a bad look for him if, you know, the Lakers go out and all of a sudden he's celebrating in New York City at this big gala. Does that look bad at him?
Probably, because he also took heat for the fact that he was shaking hands and being friends with Anthony Edwards before the game was over, and then they ended up losing that game. So he kind of already was dealing with the public saying that he doesn't really care and he's not really locked in on a game anymore. So maybe him going right there, after they lost, probably would have added to that.
Yeah, if I'm LeBron James's wife, I'm like, I don't care what you got going on. I am going to the Met Gala. Like, I'm sure she'll get invited, you know, year after year. But like, if this is the year that you're going to be the co-chair, I am showing up. And I am wearing that outfit. Now, some other things that happened on the red carpet that were pretty outrageous was actually musician Jon Batiste played the saxophone while he was on the red carpet, which definitely added some mood music to everyone walking the red carpet. And there's a rumor going around that actually Lisa from Blackpink, there's a Twitter thread going around where people are trying to figure out if she has Rosa Parks' face on her undergarments that are showing. So her outfit is a blazer on top. It's a tailored blazer that has the same pattern as these bikini bottoms that she's wearing. She's wearing what looks to be like a swimsuit, but she's wearing like a unitard underneath it. And it's this black lace pattern. And if you zoom in on it, you can see that there's faces of different women on it. And
sure enough, there are,
What's her name?
Lisa from Blackpink.
Was she also in The White Lotus?
Yes, she was, actually. And so now people are trying to figure out, are these supposed to be women of note? And this brings up a really good point that I have been screaming from the rooftops for years. But I'm like, I feel like if you are going to do something specific with your outfit that people might not get instantaneously, you got to put a press release out there so we get the fit.
So it's not just on her underwear. It's all over the outfit.
Yes.
So you can see the faces on her sleeves. You can see the faces in the jacket. I just can't make out who the faces are.
Because I felt really weird trying to zoom in to see.
Yeah. You know, you can zoom in on her crotch if you want to, but it's there and you can see the faces in the sleeves as well.
Yeah, can see them.
It's more easy to see because there's like a nude pattern behind it. So you can see the outlines a little bit more clear. But people all over Twitter are like, who is on here? Someone brought up that it's Rosa Parks or other women of color that maybe they want to highlight, but I'm begging them, please put out a tweet or something. Yeah. Let us know who the inspiration behind your outfit is. Now, somebody that I was kind of disappointed in when I first saw them on the red carpet was Gigi Hadid, because normally she really goes all out for the Met Gala. She, this one year, had like this big Michelin Man type cape that she wore out on the red carpet. So when she came out in a simple gold dress, I was really shocked. I was like, girl, like, you look like you're going to prom. Until I found out that her outfit was actually paying homage to somebody that I've talked about on Yield Gossip. I was like, okay, Gigi, me and you are one and the same here. She was honoring Josephine Baker, who we talked about back in February. She was the first African-American woman to star in a major motion picture. So she was wearing a dress very similar to one that she had worn back in the day.
It would have been nice if Bradley Cooper would have walked the red carpet with her.
We can dream. I know. We can dream.
I know.
Anyway, for more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
I'm reminded by your Sturgill Simpson t-shirt. Who, by the way, I've never heard one note of music.
You're out of the loop.
Messy Mikey is disrespecting my musical ear, my musical attraction, and thinks that I can't hang with him at a Sturgill concert.
Yeah, your music taste a little bit different than Mikey's.
It's pretty basic. I'm pretty basic. I mean, it goes Florida, it goes
Pitbull.
You know,
it could. Pitbull. I don't care what your music taste is. It's just everyone else in this room, I kind of have an idea and a sense about what they like. Bert seems like the kind of guy to say, oh, I'm a fan of everything, which means you don't know that much.
Dang! That's some talk for somebody who works here part-time. Those some full-time words.
If you were to ask me who my favorite artist is, you are not wrong. I do not have one.
You have one favorite artist that like reigns above all the rest?
I thought it was Eminem.
I thought it was Pitbull.
They're all great. I mean, they go away, then it's fine.
Pitbull and Eminem in the same breath are great.
Don't do Mr. Worldwide like that.
I didn't get into radio for music. I don't listen to music for anything except for a mood. Like if I'm working out, I want something really, really hype. Outside of that, it just has never really been important. It's like food for me. It's just never been important.
Abby, obviously, favorite artist.
Taylor Swift.
Mo, favorite artist.
Jay-Z.
Cassie, favorite artist.
Coldplay.
Kristen, favorite artist. The Beatles. Mikey, favorite artist.
Waylon Jennings.
Bert, favorite artist.
I don't have one.
Spotify.
They're all
Shuffle.
I do. I mean, I can. I mean, I think I'm very vanilla. I can listen to anything and enjoy it, but none of it bothers me, yet none of it really connects. Well, except jazz. I do not like jazz.
Oh.
That's the one I do not like.
So you don't like everything?
I do and I don't.
I'm against jazz.
I just wanted to educate.
So boring, man. It's like the Met Gala.
I want to hear Mikey's musical profiles for everyone on the show since you know so much.
I pretty much had it nailed down. I knew the Beatles. I knew Taylor Swift. I know like boy bandish stuff, right? Yes?
I did, yes.
Okay. And rap. And that's all respectable. And it's like not just rap as a genre. I'm sure he has his own lane. But Bert, I come in here and he plays music sometimes before the segment starts, and it's just all over the place. It's a mess over there.
Yeah, I can't be pigeonholed, man. Life can't pigeonhole me. So the challenge for me is to attend a concert with you.
We'll see. I just think you need to be educated about this. Like, Sturgill Simpson is the most versatile artist of our generation. He's on the most incredible tour right now. He's now going by
the most incredible tour, bigger than the Jelly Roll Post Malone show.
I don't care if it's bigger. It's better.
Bigger isn't always better.
Okay,
that's a fact.
It sounds like a subjective argument.
I think anyone who's been to a show say this is the greatest show I've ever been to.
Is it country? Is it folk? What is
this? You can't put him into a box. That's the thing. His first album, strictly country. His second album, psychedelic country. His third album, soul. His fourth album, rock. His fifth album, bluegrass. His latest album, like soft rock. Yacht rock kind of thing.
And he has some really, really great Nirvana covers, too.
Yeah, yeah. In Bloom he did on Sailor's Guide to Earth. I'm too knowledgeable about all this.
Can I go with you? I would love to go and experience this.
Absolutely.
The only thing, besides jazz, there's another one I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
I hate jam bands.
Okay. Well,
I hate jam bands. You don't know what you're doing. You're just going on and on and on. You don't even know when the thing's supposed to stop.
Well, that's the... Okay. He just clarified recently, It's not a jam band. Great. It's a band that jams.
But it's not like Fish or something, right?
But you've obviously, have you ever been at a concert where, like, because what happens when there's like a jam band moment? And yeah, there are some, like Grateful Dead, they have like their, so I understand
Dave
that.
Dave Matthews opened up for the Rolling Stones in Dallas, and I went to that show, and God awful. Dude, get off the stage already.
No, but that's like, if you are in the right, like, mindset, it's all about being, and the music just takes on its own journey, and you just go on the journey with the music, and the artists are just up there, and they're feeding off the crowd, and the crowd is feeding off the artist, and you're getting something completely original. That is art.
I have been to a show like that. It was years. I remember exactly where it was. It was at RFK Stadium, and it was U2, and it was raining, and it brought the crowd together, and it was almost like a spiritual experience.
But think about Dave Matthews. Like, that's a soft jam. The Sturgill Simpson, like, it's hard. It goes hard. Can I, maybe instead of you just going to the show, what if I could play you a couple videos?
Here's, Katie has a clip at least here.
Oh, that labor man said, son, now can you sing a little bit more clear? Said your voice might be too country next to what they've been here. Can you sing a little more about outlaws and the way things used to be? Said you just worry about writing them songs, leave everything. To me.
You're going to be so disappointed. Well, I really like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's from like 2012. That's his old band, Sunday Valley. Little known fact.
Damn. Mikey knows stuff.
But yeah, his sound is constantly changing. He's a, what's the word whenever people want you to do something so he does the opposite?
Rebel?
Kind of. He's like a very weird artist. Whenever he gets pigeonholed, he will do a complete 180.
He
disappears for years. So he just moved to Thailand for 2 years and then France to 2 years. Completely off the face of the earth. You didn't hear anything from him. Dropped an album out of nowhere. Incredible.
This guy sounds fascinating to me.
He is amazing.
You can't go to the show, though.
Why?
Because you're busy that night. What you're going to be hitting a spike for the Atlanta United game.
Oh, no. Well, he's pretty eclectic. Will he go with me? he sounds fascinating. And don't forget that when I got into radio, I was in old school country, man.
Yeah.
How many times have I hung out with Alabama and the Judds and Hank Williams Jr.?
That's amazing.
Clint Black.
Yeah.
Well, Randy Travis.
He's got that stuff. If that's what you like, he can play anything that you like. He's been doing cool covers recently, too. Otis Redding songs. Mm. Purple Rain. He's destroying Purple Rain.
You mean like in a bad way?
No, it's a beautiful thing he's created. Don't even say it.
Well, I am ready to see this man that is not in a jam band, but a band that jams.
That's right.
The Burt Show.
Y'all, we're going to be warning you every single day. Moms, we got your back.
As a public service, The Burt Show reminds you, Mother's Day is only
5 days
away. Don't screw it up, dummy.
All right, back to Mikey here, producer Mikey, who came in here to talk about something very serious, and I pivoted talking about his musical taste. But this is a serious one, especially when we're talking about Atlanta, where this is kind of a hotbed of trafficking. What is it? Trafficking?
Trafficking people.
Trafficking people.
Human trafficking.
I was
human
definitely looking for something different. Yeah. Okay.
That would be the proper way to say trafficking people. It'd be human trafficking. Thank you, Abby.
Yeah, serious, man. What happened to your girlfriend now?
Well, it's a cold, cold world out there, apparently. Getting a job, pretty tough, as it turns out. So me, my girlfriend and I, trying to work on that. My girlfriend and I.
Somebody been hitting you up in the Facebook comments about your grandma?
Mad at me.
Oh my God.
Crazy, right?
And my grandpa. So we both graduated with mass communication degrees. They always say you can do anything with a mass comm degree. As it turns out, you might not be able to do anything with a mass comm degree. So she has a job, but she's been looking pretty seriously for a new job. And
do they know this, or are they just now finding this out?
They're going to find this out.
Oops. Okay.
Great.
This should have been secret information until, you know.
Okay, I didn't know that. Hey, that had repercussions, did it?
Look, you put your pinky in, might as well just dive in at this point.
Okay.
You're good.
All right. Well, now I'm scared.
You're just going to be supporting
scared
your
of your girlfriend.
I am. Yeah. So she got this, job... This job responded to her from Indeed, And they sent her a text and they said, tomorrow come to this office and we'll interview you. She said, for what position? They said, oh, we're hiring for a lot of positions.
Mm. She gets a text?
Strange, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So right? Not an email.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, that's pretty strange, right?
Yes.
Definitely.
So we're kind of thinking about it. And then we come across this reel that was posted on ATL Circle. It didn't have the original poster, but this is what the reel said.
Y'all, did y'all hear about 17 people have came up missing in Atlanta after they did an application on Indeed and was offered an interview? They went to that interview and no one ever heard from them ever since.
Have we verified if that's accurate?
Well, we're going to get to that as well, but okay. Pretty concerning, right?
That is concerning.
That
sounds
pretty serious.
Yes.
And that sounds like exactly what she was just getting into, like pull up to this building, whatever, we'll give you some kind of job.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I did a little digging.
Yeah.
It says Sandy Springs Police Department says this is not true.
Okay, good.
Says that what we just heard is not true.
And there's many of these videos going around right now saying 17 people have been like abducted from job interviews. Apparently that's completely false.
Yeah, according to Fox 5, viral claim that people went missing in Atlanta after job interview is fake.
Then what is the text?
There's still something very weird about this, because also in the comments of that video, people are saying this is fake. And then it's like a dad who is like, my daughter had one of these texts. I called them up and they like yelled at me and said that she needs to do this kind of stuff herself. So something weird is happening.
Well, I get a lot of those texts, sort of like the toll ones that are scams or something, which of course I just delete them because I know obviously like I'm not on Indeed.com going, hey, I'm trying to leave this job. So it's definitely some kind of like, it's got to be a scam, or I mean, it's possible that there could be something untoward happening underneath.
I don't take any text that I don't know who it came from seriously at all. So if they're asking me to click on something or download an application or asking me for support, if I don't know who this person, I am not doing any of that.
There's no links. There's nothing. There is, you just respond to the text. So,
well, that could get you in a world of trouble, also, from what I understand.
Even
if you respond to the text.
Yeah. Seriously.
They can see your location, I think, if you respond. I don't know what the technology they're hacking is, but somehow they can see where you are if you reply.
So now I have, like, my protocol, because I get those toll texts. I've been getting those for a while. Mm-hmm. Or, like, you know, your package couldn't be delivered. You need to go XYZ. Mm-hmm. Click this link.
All the time.
Right? So I just don't delete it. I actually go to that number, and then I block it, and then I go and I delete the text, but I do not interact whatsoever.
The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.